Hi, this is Missionary Ashley Lear, serving in Puerto Rico. I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Listening to the 12 Days of Christmas on KFUO. I'm Andy.
I'm Sarah, and this is our Christmas Fireside Chat with our seminary professors. And today we'll be chatting about Christmas in the sermons of Martin Luther. Our guest today is the Reverend Dr. John Bruss, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Dr. Bruss, welcome.
Thank you very much once again for having me on the show.
Where would you like to begin?
Well, I would love to start talking about Luther's approach to preaching in general. And I think one of the really interesting things that he does is that he doesn't make my life relevant to the scriptures, but he makes the scriptures relevant to my life. And there are significant ways in which he does this. And we see this in some of his Christmas sermons. I'm going to point here to a wonderful little vignette that he paints in his church postals of 1521, 1522. This is on the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 2. And this is what he writes. The evangelist shows how when they arrived at Bethlehem, they were the most insignificant and despised, so that they had to make room for others until they were shown to a stable where they had received lodging, table, room, and bed in common with cattle, while many a wicked man sat at the head of the table at the inn and was honored as Lord. You can see in those words how he just sort of brings the Christmas scene to life. And that's one of the major features of Luther's preaching is the vibrancy and the liveliness and the picturesqueness of it. But he always uses that to drive to the heart of the gospel. In this wonderful little sermon, which was actually written for other preachers to use in their own sermonizing as they were coming out of the darkness of the papacy, he emphasizes the real humanity of Christ's birth and just emphasizes that the words that Mary bore a child have to be taken as they stand, just like they do in the Apostles' Creed, born of the Virgin Mary. And there's a takeaway to this, and the takeaway is this: how could God have shown his goodness more than that he sank himself so deeply into flesh and blood that he did not even despise the natural privacy, but honored nature most highly, where Adam and Eve brought it most miserably into shame? So he talks about the great condescension of God in coming into the flesh. But the impact of that is not just the wonderful point that the Lord condescends to be with his creation, but the impact of it is that it's for you. And whoever hears Luther's words for you and hears the words of the angels for you has to take them to heart as his own. He says this: the angel doesn't simply say Christ is born, but he says unto you, to you he is born. Likewise, he doesn't say, I bring joy, but to you, I bring good news of great joy. And this for you demands faith. The right and gracious faith which God's word and work demands is that you firmly believe that Christ is born for you, and that this birth is yours and occurred for your benefit. The gospel teaches that Christ was born because of us, and that he did and suffered everything because of us, as the angel says, proclaim to you great joy that will be for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, end quote. In these words, you clearly see that he is born for us. Wonderful. That's the whole point. And he, in a later sermon from the year 1530, he makes the point that you can have all of the knowledge of the creed and have it very deeply. If you don't apply it to yourself, if you don't say, this is for me, you have those words no more than the devil does. It's a wonderful, wonderful point. And so connected with that, we also learn the importance of the word. And he draws this also out of the Christmas history in Luke chapter 2. He says this: Christ's birth can't be distributed in a bodily way. And I'll just add in here, in other words, Christ's birth can't happen right in front of you or out of your womb. So it can't be distributed in this bodily way, nor would that help. Therefore, it is distributed spiritually through the word to everyone, as the angel says, that it is given to all who firmly believe, so that no harm will come to them because of their impure birth. And this leads him then into a characteristic of his theology. The theologians call it der fröhliche Wechsel, the happy exchange, where everything that is Christ's, he gives to us, and everything that is ours, he takes to himself. So he takes our sin and death and hell upon himself and suffers it in our place. And in lieu of that, we get his life, his sinlessness, and his heaven. And so pointing to James 1:18, in this same exact sermon, he points out this. He says, so this is James 1:18, he willingly gave us birth by the word of truth, that we should begin to be his new creatures, James 1:18. And this is what Luther says about this. See, in this way, Christ takes our birth away from us and absorbs it into his own birth and gives us his, that in it we might become pure and new as if it were our own, so that every Christian may rejoice and glory in Christ's birth as if he also, like Christ, had been born bodily of Mary. Whoever does not believe this or doubts is not a Christian. And because of that fact, because of that very fact, he draws the conclusion. And this is just, I think, a really wonderful thing, that nothing but the gospel should be ringing out in the churches. That's the whole point why the church was established. He talks about the gospel actually teaching two kinds of righteousness, which is very interesting. So in this recounting, he's saying, look, there is a righteousness that you yourself have, that you yourself do. But that righteousness is for your neighbor. The gospel righteousness is Christ's righteousness for you. And he draws this because of the angel's words, who doesn't say merely, I preach to you, but I speak the gospel to you. I'm an evangelist. My word is gospel. That is, I bring you good news of great joy. And he draws from the conclusion that the very first announcement at the birth of Christ was the announcement of the gospel, that should be the only word on the tongue of the church.
Reverend Dr. John Bress, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, thanks for the chat.
You're listening to the 12 Days of Christmas. I'm Andy.
I'm Sarah.
KFUO Radio proclaims salvation in Christ Jesus. Our salvation is free, thanks be to God, but broadcasting is not. KFUO Radio relies on listeners like you to keep God's word on the air and streaming to the ends of the earth. Make your year-end gift to KFUO Radio at kfuo.org/give. kfuo.org/give. Thank you for being our partners in the gospel proclamation.